and without walls. Back in the ancient times, a city with without walls, anybody could come in there. Any army could invade it at any time. That's why they had the, when a camel, they had what you call the eye of a needle. Remember Jesus said, it's easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. We ain't talking about a sewing needle. See, some people think it's just impossible. No, the eye of a needle was a hole in the wall that a camel couldn't walk through. But sometimes caravans would show up, you know, at a late hour where the gate was shut. And they wouldn't let nobody, they wouldn't open them no gates. So they would have to unload the camels, all the spices, all of what was on the camel, and the camel would have to get down on his knees. And they'd have to pull him through the eye. It was hard, but he could come through there. And he said, it's easier for a camel to come through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God, because the riches distract him. The riches are his God. The riches are his source. The riches, he don't think he need people. He doesn't think he have to treat people right. He doesn't think that he's ever going to need anything. Oh, soul, sit back and take thine ease. That's what riches can do. But go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I believe this type of word will transform us. You know, we are the head, not the tail. But sometimes there are roots. There are things that hinder or block us from truly experiencing the Zoe life. And so we have to get the root of stuff. You know, growing up, my mother was a stickler for our yard. We had a real big yard, and my dad kept it real well. But, you know, in the Midwest, in the summer or early, late spring and early summer, it's dandelions. You know, the big, you know, all they had to do was some of the seedlings. And our yard be full of them sometime. My mother would get an umbrella, a lawn chair, and her three sons. She'd have the lawn chair and the umbrella, and we'd be out in the yard pulling dandelions. And she knew if we didn't get the root. She would watch us. But every now and then, you know, we would sneak and not just pull it out. Just get the day or two later, be right back. So see, if you don't get the root of something, if you just get the flower or the fruit, it will continue to hamper you and haunt you and oppress you. But how many are ready to really get transformed? Really get changed to be that authentic you and not carry a whole bunch of excess baggage. Amen? So, did you get Timothy for me? 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting at verse 19. And we're talking about those in the troposphere. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now let me stop there, because again, not being critical or judgmental, I hope the word itself will convict hearts. You know, the word, we have to have enough evidence. And see, that's why it takes hearts to be open. You know, conviction won't come unless a heart is open. You have to gather evidence to establish a conviction. But if your mind is not open to the word, if your heart is not open to the word, then you won't have that evidence. You'll just be mad with me. Why he say that? Having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of the Lord, name of Christ, depart from iniquity. Is that a suggestion? That's a command. I can't speak for everybody, but I knew when I was first saved, and I know the preacher went out of his way he preached hard. And even though you were saved, and I wasn't caught up in no stuff. When I got saved, I got saved like boom. You know, some people get saved like that. But every time I leave, it was like I ain't saved. I'm on my way to hell. That's how you make us feel. Just, you know, you just couldn't be saved. Wasn't no way you're going to make it. I don't want you to feel like that. But I do want you to identify stuff that may be in your life so that we can get at the root. Because the elders are not going to continue to pray and believe God to send whatever deliverance. But see, you got to have your mind made up. Amen. You got to have your mind made up. I'm not going to remain here. And you may not be in that realm or in none of this stuff anyway. That's a good thing. But where you are, you may be in the stratosphere. You may be in the thermosphere. Until we get into the exosphere and live there, we're still striving. Amen? Okay, so get that back up for me if you will, because I want you to see something here about those that live here. Now, the newbies that I call, the ones just saved, they start there. And sometimes they're not taught, and it's not their fault. You know, someone that joins a particular denomination or something, and they never taught on anything, you know, just said, come and, you know, join the choir. Or, you know, just come and, you know, be part of the usher board or whatever, just come and never have been taught. That's one thing. Okay? God's mercy somehow or some way, if their heart is after God. You know, I'll show you the mercy of God. When I was first saved at home, I had that experience with the Lord. I was thinking, I remember one Saturday night, I said, you know, I'm going to go to church tomorrow. That's what I'm going to do. God did this for me, I'm going to go to church. And there was a church a block from the house called Christ Temple. Now, Christ Temple, nothing against Baptist churches, but Christ Temple was a little Baptist church, and the Blackstone Rangers had their meetings in the basement. So you know the pastor wasn't preaching nothing. People there wasn't living nothing. I didn't know that necessarily. You know, I didn't care. I'm going to church. Here's the mercy of God. My brother came by that night. And I said, you know, and he was at the time was an aspiring minister in their church. And I said, Rick, I'm thinking about going to church tomorrow, man. He said, oh, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm going up to Christ Temple. He said, what? he said, no. No, he said, listen, we have Sunday school at 9 at our church. I'll come get you. All the way from out in the cities and suburbs. So he came and got me, and it started that way, rather than getting in an environment where there was no principle. That was the mercy of God. You know, and so I'm not against any leaders in that per se. We preach and teach principle. And I'm not going to criticize anybody's pastor or anything like that. But when you're one-on-one with people and you see that their life is in shambles and they're going to church all the time, share truth that you have with them. And then show them in the Bible. You'd be surprised at the people that have never really opened their Bible but go to church and just take the word of whoever, and they don't know. And so they go to church to hook up. Y'all know what hook up means, right? We have to have a higher standard. I'm not talking about legalistic. I'm talking about Bible. The scriptures. Let's finish. Let's read that some more of that, because that says, but in a great house there are there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. In a great house, in God's house, you're going to find all sorts. But now, again, a person that's caught up in something that we've read, that comes to God's house, the responsibility of the house, and especially the leaders, is to bring them out of that mess and bring them into a fullness of Christ. Get Christ formed in them. Get them walking in a realm of victory, because I'm going to show you something here in this point of scripture. Get it back up. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. In a great house, there are vessels unto honor and dishonor. So we don't diss the vessels that are dishonorable. They just ain't going to be up singing over nobody. They ain't going to be working over the children. They're not going to be doing anything. No, the ones that are in positions like that are proven. Faithful men and women that have a life in God. We ain't perfect, but folks saved. Yeah. Ain't going to be none of that funny stuff up over everybody because they got a gift. And then before you know it, there's a whole flock. I ain't got nothing against nobody because it's atmospheres. It's spirits. Amen. Tell somebody, this is God's house. We're stewards. We're gatekeepers. Get it back up. He shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. If a man allow himself and will work at purging himself of these things. Again, the greater one is inside of you. It's not a legalistic thing. You can do that through prayer. And through the blood, you can see habits become your habitation. You can break habits, especially a child of God. Amen. You have an anointing. You put your foot down and say, no more. Amen. And take hold of that flesh. Because the flesh will war against the spirit. But notice something. It didn't say the spirit wars against the flesh. It said the spirit is against the flesh. It ain't no real battle if you submit to the Spirit. It's like the devil wars against God, but God ain't warring against him because it ain't no fight. He's a whip noodle already. If you yield to the Spirit, that thing will be broken. Amen. Flee also youthful lusts. That's lust not only of the youth. There are particular unique lusts that are carried by youth, or that youth are challenged with. But it doesn't just mean it means flee youthful lust. Lust in its first beginnings. Amen. Before it can get a grip on you. Flee. Don't entertain it. Don't mess with it.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036 or toll free at 1-877-TR-BANKS. Our service times are Sundays, 8:30 a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us in our midweek service, Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m.
Try to put you in the box that I've designed.